Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are ever present with us. And we do pray, just as we sang, that we would, knowing that your love has come down, knowing that you are ever present with us, that we would know something of your glory. Lord, that we would know something of your manifest presence. And Lord, I pray for any who may be here today who feel spiritually dry, that, Lord, in your name, we pray and ask that, Lord, in your mercy and your grace, you would remind, you would encourage by the Holy Spirit, by your very presence in the lives of your children, of your followers, that you are with us, that you never leave us, you never forsake us. We cannot be snatched from your hand. And Lord, may the encouraging words of Scripture, even those that we have sung this morning, may they be life to us, for your word is alive. And Lord, for those who are full of joy today, thank you for that, Lord, because joy comes from you. And Lord, may that only spill over into the lives of others that we come in contact with. And even in this cold weather, may the warmth of the presence of the ever-living God spiritually be known to us and to those around us. Continue to guide us, lead us this morning as we are your gathered community. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, good morning. A fun fact for you, the couple that Pastor Barry prayed for this morning, the missionaries, whose messages are going into other countries, go to the same chiropractor as my wife and son. Fun fact, there you have it. Last week, by the way, I mentioned to you that I prefer to use the New American Standard Bible. Now, nobody mentioned this to me, but I thought I should probably follow up by saying to you, I am not New American Standard only. So I do encourage the use of other translations, and some of them are considerably easier to read, and that's very helpful, especially for children, for new believers. New American Standard is not always the easiest one to follow, but it is my preference for study. As Pastor Barry said, Pastor Sam is at Eastridge today, and if you ever want as well a good Bible study, I encourage you to come earlier on Sunday mornings, because I have enjoyed the time that I have sat in Pastor Barry's Sunday school class, and I know those, it was almost standing room only today, but that's just how popular it is, and how much you should come, because if the room gets too big, we'll move to a bigger one, won't we? Anyhow, I want to encourage you that way. Thanks for the ministry of everyone who's involved here at Markham Missionary Church. We've just begun, we're on through the book of Philippians, we're early on, we're Philippians chapter 1. Title of this series is Living and Loving Community, and I hope that is our experience, and that it only continues to be your experience in the body of Christ. Let me ask you this morning, can you think of something that you have learned to do that previously you thought, there's no way I could ever do this? You ever had that experience? There's no way I could ever accomplish this. There's no way I could ever do this. But you found that over the years, with lots of practice, lots of encouragement, lots of direction, that you've been able to do it. Let me give you a couple examples. My son is in grade 11. He takes music class, and he's learning the trombone. It's the one with the slider, right? And I came home on Friday, and I heard him practicing at home. Go Josiah, practicing his trombone at home. And when he came out of his room, I said, man, you've stepped it up a level. Because he was playing the faster passages like I never thought. I shouldn't maybe think so. I should have more faith, I guess. But like I didn't think he was going to be able to do. And I heard him in his room going, and I was going out in the living room, I was going, and Trina said, stop making fun of him. I said, I'm not making fun of him. I said, he stepped up his game. And he's doing things that previously he hadn't been able to do. Think maybe of math equations in school, and I don't want to bring back bad memories or nightmares, because sometimes math just doesn't click. But for some of you, you know that during life, there are times when it just went, I finally get it. I get that algebra. I get that calculus. It actually makes some sense to me. And a light goes on. Something clicks. Moves in figure skating. So yesterday, Trina and I were watching a little bit. Maybe some of you watched it on TV. The Canadian Figure Skating Championships are getting ready for the Olympics next month. And you watch these people do stuff, spinning people around them. And I'm thinking, let her down. She's going to get hurt. Incredible, the things that they do. And there would have been a time when they would have had difficulty imagining they could actually pull those stunts off without somebody getting cut. It's amazing. Crazy moves in sports, some of the things that hockey players can do with pucks and their sticks and the way they can score crazy goals. Maybe it's something, though, that is a little bit more mundane. Maybe it's some work around the house. Maybe it's a meal, a recipe to prepare. I mean, there's some things that I thought there's no way I could ever cook that, and then it didn't turn out too badly in the end. Maybe it's something to do with technology. When that computer or that brand new phone just scared the living daylights out of you, and now you're thinking, you know, I know how to use this thing. It's not so bad after all. Because after a little bit of practice and so on, some instruction, you can do things that previously you thought you could never do. I think that there's some parallel to this about prayer. I talked this morning, our focus this morning is on prayer and on praying well. Not some scheme that I've devised, but praying well as we look at Philippians chapter 1 from verse 6. I'm actually going to recall the first five verses. But I know in my experience, many people would say, there's no way that I could pray like so-and-so prays. But here's the thing about prayer. Prayer is not about doing it like so-and-so does it. Amen? Because prayer is very much just about communicating with God. Two ways. A prayer is about talking to God and listening to God. Prayer is about communicating with God. And there are some people who pray in a powerful way, I believe led by the Spirit, even in public meetings. I can remember a man, and I loved to go to prayer meeting when I served downtown Kitchener at Bethany, because there was an old evangelist by the name of Wilford Moto. And when Wilford would pray, that room just filled up. And I would think things like, I will never pray like Wilford. And I think that's still true, and I don't think it matters. Because God gave him a gift and worked through him at certain times and places. But when it comes to prayer together, prayer is about talking to God. And prayer is also about even with others talking to God. For when two or three are gathered together in my name, Jesus said, I'm there present with them. And it's just as though there's another person present with us that we can talk to together. So I'm going to talk to this morning about prayer as a progression. And this just is what has been illustrated to me through this first chapter of the book of Philippians, that prayer is something of a progression of learning and of experience. What's your next step when it comes to prayer? You might say, my prayers look like this, or I hardly, if at all, even pray. What's the next step that maybe I need to take in my conversing and relating with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit? Paul has started off his letter, and I'm just going to recount the first five verses. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you. Peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Paul has already been writing in his letter about prayer. Something crucially important to learn from here, I believe, is that Paul's relationship with the church is based on prayer. Absolutely vital. His relationship, his interaction with the church is based on prayer. It's built on prayer. It's grounded on prayer. It's established on prayer. If I pulled out my thesaurus, I'd come up with some more. The longer that we're believers, the more this can be true for us as well. Amen? That our relationship with God and our relationship with each other needs to be, and it's a pleasure for it to be, grounded based on prayer. So, Paul doesn't start his letter to the churches by saying, "Hey, it's Paul. How's it going?" Paul starts by writing, "Hey, it's Paul. God bless you. I care about you. I'm praying for you." And this is particularly what I'm praying for you. That's going to come out in the next several verses. Relationship with both God and his church. Relationship is necessarily established on prayer, which is talking to God, depending on God, listening to God, relating to God. Without prayer, I would suggest that we're not experiencing a healthy relationship with God. There's still relationship. But if we're not in the habit of communicating with God, being in his word, talking to God, listening, the relationship is lacking health. It's like saying that if we're not communicating well with loved ones, the relationship isn't healthy. I mean, if we had an existence with the people who are closest to us, and we hardly ever said a word to them, I'm sad to say that that's the case in some relationships, isn't it? Where some people would say, and I don't find this amusing, when somebody will say, "You know, I told you when we got married that I love you, and so I don't need to tell you that again. If it ever changes, I'll let you know." No, that's not true at all. We need to continue communicating with each other. I believe it's no different with God. So it is at work, too. We would say, if we're not in the habit of communicating well with coworkers, there may well be something wrong with our relationship. That's why we may feel there's tension in the air at work if communication is not good. So it is with God. The relationship is there, but not healthy if we're not in the habit of communicating with God. I don't say that to drag us down, but I say it to encourage. Because we might say, "Oh no, not another message about you better pray more." I want to tell you, this is about dynamic relationship. And so of course we ought to be praying in the same way that of course we ought to be communicating with loved ones, because that's how relationship works. I want to encourage us, maybe even push us a bit. Prayer is a progression. So what's the next step for you, for me? Paul had a spiritual right to offer direction to the people, the church at Philippi, because he was led by prayer and dependence on the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God. Now, Paul also had a certain amount of authority as an apostle, and people would listen to him based on his authority as an apostle. But I really believe that Paul's greatest strength and his spiritual authority, the spiritual recognition for him that he could give direction to the church, was because his relationship was grounded on prayer, because he was listening to the direction of the Holy Spirit. "Give me the wisdom, please, Lord, godly wisdom, how I need to communicate and lead these people." It's very easy for you and me, for any of us in the church, to give our personal opinions about things. In fact, in far too many situations, I have observed people in the body of Christ who will say harsh things to others. And they'll say, you know what, I'm just telling you the way it is. And yet oftentimes, they're not telling the way it is. What they're telling is what they think. And they haven't taken the time to listen to the Spirit of Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, how do I need to communicate what I need to communicate? And what is it that I need to communicate? And would you help me to speak your truth with kindness? And I believe that that's what Paul would do. Because Paul would seek from the Holy Spirit to know, what do I need to say and how do I need to say it in a way that's constructive and helpful and will build up? And a bit more of that yet. Prayer naturally includes thanks and praise. Let me read for you verse 6. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on and perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Even in times of tragedy and pain, how do loved ones greet one another? With an embrace. There were a couple of funerals this week. I've been through a number of funerals in my life, and I see that even when people are experiencing pain and tragedy, they greet each other with an embrace. They greet each other with appreciation. They'll give each other thanks for being there. Thanks for being here in this time of difficulty. They're not brimming over with smiles and excitement and laughter, but the thanks and words of praise are still there. How much more when we're not in difficult circumstances? So Paul begins this letter by saying, I thank my God every time I remember you. I thank my God in my prayer. So I would suggest that prayer naturally will include thanks and praise. I encourage you and me that at the beginning of every day, some of the first words that come out of our mouths to the Lord are, just thank you, Lord. Thank you for breath. Thank you for life. Thank you for this day. I drive in my car, and I just find myself saying, thank you, Lord, to so many things. Praise you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for the life that we have in Christ, for the protection that we have from you, and that we are in your hands. Ordinarily, the place to begin with our conversation with God is some joy. And this morning, there might be some among us who would say, you know, honestly, I don't really talk to God. I don't even know where to start. And so let me offer to you that this is a great place to start. That if prayer is a progression, and you can take the next step, this might be the step for you to be taking. That every day, might be a minute, might be 2 minutes. Just to offer some praise to God. Maybe you want to sing. Maybe you want to sing where nobody can hear you. Or maybe you just want to offer some words of thanks to God. God accepts the praises of his people. What a great way to begin with prayer. Secondly, there's the text. Prayer also recognizes dependence on God. If I were actually to use one word that describes what prayer is about, I would use the word dependence. Because when we pray, we're recognizing our complete and utter dependence on God. Whether it's we're bringing praise or we're bringing requests, we're bringing concerns, we're bringing joy, we're recognizing our dependence on our Creator. Prayer recognizes dependence on God. I believe in the church. I believe that God is at work in you and in me and in his church. Would you say amen? I hope you believe that. Because if you don't, then you might be having a personal identity crisis. Because he wants to, and he is. He's working through you. He's working through this community. He's working through all the communities of his church. Realize and recognize that when Paul writes here, he's writing with the word you, plural. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you together will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. While it's true that the church is made up of a collection of individuals, this is referring to the collective. He who began a good work in you as a community will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. It's a reminder to the church to keep our focus. Our focus is on participating in the good news, the gospel. Gospel means good news. What's the good news about? The good news is about Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, his continuing reality and work in and through our lives. And so our focus as a church, if we needed to nail it down, our focus as a church is to be participating in the good news. That's why we're here. We're participating in the good news of Jesus. Who embodies the good news? Jesus does. It keeps coming back to Jesus. It's got to keep coming back to Jesus. And so our focus is on participating in the good news about Jesus. God is doing a good work through his church in our receiving and our sharing the good news of Christ. Paul's prayers for the church of Philippi have to do with his confidence that God is working in and through his church to experience the good news, to receive the good news, and then to share the good news with others. I hope that encourages you. And I hope it also helps to inform you in how to pray. That at the base of our prayers, so fundamental to our prayers, is praying about the good news of Jesus in our lives and in the lives of those around us. And so let me encourage you that if prayer is a progression and you need to take the next step, this might be the step for you to take. If you might say, you know what, no problem for me to offer a few words of praise to God, but I don't know what to do next. Well, let's recognize in prayer, thank you, Lord, for being at work in and through this church. How do you want me participating, Lord? Thank you for using me. How else do you want to use me to be involved in your will? Maybe personally, your next step is being more intentional, recognizing your need for God's guidance and direction, and seeking his direction. Because here's the struggle that a lot of us have. There are a lot of us who call themselves type A personalities. You ever called yourself a type A personality? Do you know what type B is? I've never heard somebody call himself or herself, man, you've got to understand the way I'm behaving. I'm a type B personality. You ever heard anybody say that? I actually looked it up once. So type A is this idea of somebody being driven and needing to be in control and taking charge. Type B, apparently, is just the exact opposite. Lazy. I guess that's it. I guess there's only type A and type B in that particular analysis. But here's the thing that happens with people who maybe think themselves some way to be a type A personality. There's less of a habit of a recognition to submit to what God wants. That we maybe have a habit of just going ahead and taking care of things and doing things on our own. Where we need to keep stopping and saying, Lord, is there anything that you would have? Is there anything that maybe you want to change in me? Do you want to adjust in me? You've given me that driven maybe personality, but I need to listen to what it is that you are saying. I need to listen maybe to what you are saying through others in order to carry out your will. Come with me to verses 7 and 8. Paul goes on, it's only right for me to feel this way about you all because I have you in my heart. Since both in my imprisonment, he's writing from prison, and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you're all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. I do believe that next time I will put the text up here for you. I do believe that prayer will deepen our love for each other. My experience, I've seen plenty of people get disaffected with the church or disaffected with the local church, get upset about this or that. And when we dig down, sometimes the reality is that the conflict hasn't been brought to the Lord in prayer. The challenge hasn't been brought to the Lord in prayer. The disappointment hasn't been brought to the Lord in prayer. But rather, whatever the circumstances are, that the response has been, this is how I feel, this is what I will do, rather than, Lord, what do you want me to do about this? I believe that the longer that we pray for one another, the deeper our love and affection becomes for one another. Paul loved the Philippian church. He probably thought back to his first meeting with Lydia, recorded in Acts 16, understood to be the first convert, the first follower of Jesus from Europe. And her little group of folks who were worshiping and they were open to understanding who God really is and coming to recognize that Jesus is Savior. I wouldn't be surprised if Paul was thinking back to Lydia when he wrote this letter and that first encounter. And he writes in verse 8 here, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. The word affection, fun fact, is literally the word organs. Insert it here. God is my witness, how I long for you with all of my organs of Christ Jesus. The heart, the liver, the lungs. So, you know, for us, we talk about, I love you with all of my heart. In days gone by, they would say things like, I love you with all of my liver. And there were people who would, even pagans, who would actually seek the will of the gods by taking the liver out of an animal, fresh liver, setting it on the table, and they would determine, quote unquote, the will of the gods by the quiver of the liver. Just the idea being that Paul uses that word organs, which is, this is the center of my being, and I love you with the center of my being. That's why we use the word heart, the nobler organs. Now, when Paul wrote about his affection for the church, I think I can relate somewhat. It's not exactly the same, but it's been my experience and my heart to have worked with quite a number of churches. I've served as pastor for 9 churches prior to coming here. This is my 10th. Now, a lot of people can think, well, golly, they won't keep you that long. You're probably a bit of a problem. But that's, of course, because of my role as a transitional pastor. But in 2 weeks, I'm going to visit a small church right in the heart of Toronto that I served with about 3 years ago. I served with them for a year. And I haven't been back since I was there. Not because we've had any problems. It's just because Sunday mornings I tend to be occupied. We've had a number of good emails back and forth. We've had some communication. And every time I think of them, I have thoughts of joy. Every time I think of them, I could bring up thoughts of not joy. Because not everything was hunky-dory. Not everything was perfect. But when I think of the people, there is a love in my heart that I have for them and the interactions that we have and the joy that I have knowing that when I left, they had some good leadership in place to be leading them on forward and they don't need me. So in your life right now as a follower of Jesus, let me ask you 2 questions. When you think of your brothers and sisters in Christ, are you filled with joy? And I pray that you are, and I expect that for the most part you are. If you're challenged with that, I encourage you to take that prayer to the Lord. Lord, would you give me understanding? Would you give me joy? Would you fill my heart with joy? One of my most frequent prayers for churches is, Lord, would you fill them with your Spirit and fill them with your joy? Because we live in a day and age when we get so much negative news that just presses us down, that we need joy. Don't get me wrong, there are issues with people. They need to be addressed, and they need to be addressed with kindness and care. But of the 10 churches that I've served, every one has had plenty of people in ministry to bring them joy. And I hope that as you continue to pray, you will experience as well just that deepening of love for one another and the broader church in general as well. I said the other week that the people I'm closest to are those that I have prayed most deeply with. Jesus said in Matthew 18:20, where two or three have gathered in his name, he's there in their midst. I want to encourage you, if you're not in the habit of meeting with anyone else for the purpose of praying, that might be your next step. Your next step in prayer, in that process of prayer, that progression of prayer might be, you know what, I should call up somebody that I trust. Spend some time with that person, talking about life, talking about God's word, and praying together. That's a small group. Now, I know a lot of churches over the years have taken a lot of time to create large small group programs and so on. Glad that there are a few small groups that are functioning as part of Markham Missionary Church. But I want to tell you something. While that may happen, you don't need a program to be part of a small group. Anybody say amen? It could be your spouse. Could be your child, could be a close friend, but I want to encourage you. All you have to do is pick up the phone or whatever communication mechanism that you would choose, and then you can contact somebody who's close to you and say, you know what, let's just spend some time praying together. Let's spend some time encouraging together. Read God's word together. Let's talk about life. I encourage you to be in part of a micro small group, but to be involved in that kind of interaction with others. Some of you already are. Might be Sunday school, might be a small group, might be prayer meeting that you come to. Bless you as you do those things. But we need that kind of interaction to deepen our love together. Verses 9 to 11. Here they are. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the next step in the progression. Thanks and praise are a natural part of prayer. Prayer recognizes our dependence on God, deepens our love for one another. And let me suggest, too, that as our relationship with God deepens, the content of our prayers will deepen. It's really important for us to pray for people's physical conditions. We often will pray for somebody who's sick or somebody who has had some sort of a physical ailment. But I will tell you that I get concerned if that is ever the majority of the prayers that we pray. We need to get deeper into prayer. Amen? That our prayers, the longer that we spend time listening to the Lord and the Spirit and His Word, the deeper our prayers will become for the spiritual reality and the spiritual activity of God's church and our lives in affecting others as well. Paul's prayer is that people's love will be essentially like the love of Jesus. What did the love of Jesus look like? The love of Jesus looked like taking a towel and a basin of water, kneeling down to the feet of his disciples, who were horrified that the leader would wash the feet of the students, that the master would wash the feet of the servants. In that day and age, that was absolutely unimaginable. But that's what love was for Jesus. That's what agape love, sacrificial love was for Jesus. Not to mention giving up his very life, the ultimate sacrifice, taking upon himself the sin of the world in order that we could know transformation, we could know cleanness of mind, cleanness of spirit, and we could walk in victory following after Jesus. That's the kind of love that Paul's talking about here, sacrificial love. He's praying that their love will grow in godly knowledge, which is a knowledge that comes from relationship with God. A spirit-led knowledge and insight that gives understanding that will lead to right actions. Sincere has the idea of being the best possible, spotless, morally pure, sincere of mind, honest, transparent, and blameless being the idea that we would not cause others to stumble. The church thrives with this kind of love. And with this kind of love, we are careful what we say and how we say it. We speak no harsh words, but we speak many kind words, and we speak even the difficult things with love and with kindness. We have to speak the truth, but we need to do it with kindness, not harshness. The church thrives with this kind of love with which fewer personal opinions are given and more counseled opinions are given. The church thrives with this kind of love with which talking is done carefully, listening is done generously. The church thrives with this kind of love with which much praying that's done in silent listening guides the speaking. The church thrives with this kind of love with which very little offense is taken, much grace is given. And the third church thrives with this kind of love with which bad behavior is addressed rather than being ignored. And the church thrives with this kind of love with which our lives show fruit, evidence of the Spirit of Jesus in our lives. Paul gives this picture, just in a word, this image of a tree that is laden down with fruit. Reminds me of a tree in my backyard. We have a pear tree in our backyard. It's a bit of a freak tree because it's a hybrid. It's got four different kinds of fruit on it, four different kinds of pears on it. And the first summer that we had it, we were told, cut off the fruit, let it grow, let it get ready for next year. So the following year, we had about six pears. I was just thrilled. I had six pears off my tree. And for the next couple of years, we got absolutely nothing. And I thought, what a waste of money. All it's good for is a few birds, I guess, to sit on from time to time. And then this past summer, I do not know why, these things appeared in the springtime. They were beautiful. They were lovely. They were like pink. They looked like flowers. They were blossoms. And I thought, I wonder what that means. Maybe I'm going to get some fruit this year. And this year we had dozens and dozens of pears. I don't understand pear trees. I don't know why it didn't work for several years. But the evidence finally came out in that tree that it was actually a pear tree and that it wasn't a nothing tree. God wants to do that in and through our lives. Where the Holy Spirit, as we allow Him, through our relationship with Him, He wants for the Holy Spirit to be allowed to come through our lives with the fruit of the Spirit, that we would be filled with love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. That's the fruit. That's the evidence of the Holy Spirit all together. They're not all different fruits. It's all one melange, one nine alive of fruit together. That's the Holy Spirit's evidence in our lives. Grounded, based, built upon, rooted in prayer. How essential prayer is for that to become part of our very lives. Relationship with God deepens the content of our prayer so that as we pray, these are the kinds of things we will be praying for and about, among others. If prayer is a progression, maybe the next step for you or for me is the content of our prayers. Now, having said all of that, I have no doubt that there are a good number among us who would say, you know what, I know all of that. And so I say, be encouraged today, because some of you are truly prayer warriors. I would have difficulty preaching this to my mother, because my mother just lives this out. I want to encourage you today, if that's not where you're at, what's the next step for you in the progression of prayer? Is it a little bit each day of just offering praise to God? Is it that deepening, recognizing your dependence upon God in your prayers to Him? Is it that deepening of your love for others and maybe engaging with others in prayer to step up and taking the next step in prayer? Or is it that deepening of the content of prayer that we go deeper and ask for the Spirit to give us wisdom for the things that He wants us to be praying? May you be encouraged today, 2018, still pretty early on in the year, that prayer would more and more be ours, so that, just as Paul prayed, this would be true for you and for me as his church. Verse 9, that your and my love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that we may approve the things and understand the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ when He returns, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Would you say amen? Amen. Let's pray together as the musicians come forward. Lord, I pray and I ask for the encouragement of your Spirit this morning. Lord, I'm reminded today that we could say you can never pray too much. But Lord, we are where each of us is at when it comes to our relationship with you and talking to you. And Lord, I thank you that prayer changes things, that prayer changes people, that you transform us. And so, Lord, I pray for the encouragement of your Spirit that wherever each of us is at when it comes to our communication with you, that by the grace of the living God and the grace of the ever-living Spirit of God living within your children, that you would take each of us that next step, whatever it is, in our prayers, to deepen that communion with you, that joy of being in your presence and communicating with you and with each other. And Lord, may your love abound more and more, knowledge, true knowledge and depth of discernment and insight in your people for your glory, that the gospel of Jesus would be made known. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.